Right now, we're joined by Dr. Deb Stroman of the Keenan Flagler Business School, former basketball star herself, longtime sports commentator, and I know you are excited about Carolina Duke tomorrow.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, this is definitely the game that everybody looks to. In fact, it's arguably the number one viewing or showing for college basketball, men's college basketball. And it's not just game. Certainly there are folks out there who love and hate the Blue Devils and love and hate the Carolina Tar Heels, but it's the economic impact, similar to the Super Bowl, where you have people coming together for fellowship, for parties, going out to restaurants and bars and traveling to certain areas, so the transportation and hotels and motels. But we're just glad to be a part of this amazing, amazing rivalry.
What do we know about the economic impact of a game like this? I know you focus on analytics, and that's on the court and off. So what do we know about a big rivalry game like this and how big of an impact and how big the ripple effect is?
Well, we've had some studies done here at UNC for football, economic impact just in the Chapel Hill area, anywhere from $3 to $7 million. But when you talk about a global activity, a global game like this, certainly it could reach in the $20 to $30 million based on which inputs you use to calculate. Usually economic impact studies are using the what we call the local drivers, as in things that happen in a particular town when you have outsiders come in versus the residents and what they're purchasing and what they're partaking in. But there's no doubt, just by looking at the game and the advertisers, you can see that this is a multi-million dollar game, not only to the networks and those different feeds that come in, but also on your local campuses and all the affiliates, the folks that are particular to that university community.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, how do the two schools, or the two programs, I guess I should say, Carolina and Duke, to what extent as a fan, you mark these games on your calendar and you really look forward to them. As a program, if you're a coach, if you're a player, if you're an assistant coach or a trainer or a staff member or an athletic director, if you're planning for a season, how much of your planning focuses on this game?
Well, it's actually pretty minimal because it's a true rivalry. And when I say a rivalry, that means each team has a legitimate shot to win. I know there's been conversation over the years, especially the students bantering back and forth as to whether or not NC State in men's basketball is still a rivalry to us, considering the lopsided nature of the victory. But in a rivalry, that means the impossible can happen. And even though in this particular year, right now, Duke is on an upside and Carolina's on an upside, so you don't know what's going to happen. But sometimes you have years where Carolina might be down or Duke might be down, but yet that other team, that team that's down, will win the game. So that's an amazing thing about this rivalry. You definitely have that happening. I think in this particular game, though, we really look at systems. Duke and Coach K has been known to have a particular system, and Carolina from day one, back in their early 1920s and 30s, North Carolina had this system. But what has happened in recent years is that Coach K has gone to this, what people in a negative way would say is a one and done. As in, he is bringing in those five-star athletes that really aren't going to be around, maybe play one semester, and then they're off to the NBA. And so people now see North Carolina and Duke as Coach K, who's gone to this more professional system, versus Coach Roy Williams, who continues to bring in the five stars and have players that can certainly play in the NBA, but it's more accepted that you're going to play for 2-3 years and possibly all four at UNC. So now we're seeing a difference in styles in terms of what is the culture of the team. The other thing that's noteworthy is that this is still private versus public. Private being that Duke is that big elite school with lots of money, and North Carolina is the University of the People. Now, we know, obviously, we have very elite people here at Chapel Hill, and Duke has people who come from the working class. But still, there's that stigma that goes along with a game like this.
Again, speaking with Deb Stroman, Keenan Flackler Business School, you mentioned public versus private. It's also been sort of the Democratic versus Republican as well, going along with that too, right? With Dean Smith versus Mike Krzyzewski, although maybe a little bit less so now that both Duke and UNC are as outspoken as they have been, and maybe Duke even a little bit more than UNC about some of the policies that have come down from Raleigh and from Washington, right?
Well, I'll tell you, with the way the political parties are now in the United States, I don't know what is a Democrat or what is a Republican. You know, there are people who are very, very upset with Democrats and what they have not done, how they have not spoken up. Where's the courage? Where's the revolt? And then you have Republicans who are just so upset with what happened with this presidential election that they don't want to claim. They don't want to be affiliated with President Trump and his administration. So right now, I don't even think we can use these traditional labels. Many, many people are moving to being independent. They might be, you know, the whole fiscally conservative and socially responsible, those type of labels. I guess that's just the beauty of living in America right now. It's an exciting time. And yes, we can always, you know, default to North Carolina being the University of the People, which, of course, makes me happy.
Well answered. All right, let's get to on the court. How do you see this matchup going down this tomorrow evening?
Well, nothing's changed for me in the sense that I believe that North Carolina goes as Joel Berry goes. I'm a little biased. I am a point guard, but I do believe that Joel is the heart and soul of this team. How he plays, how he shoots, how he distributes the ball at the right time, everything. He cannot get into foul trouble. There's no doubt that it's pretty glaring that North Carolina has the post advantage. Number one rebounding team in the country. All the post players are playing well. I just really think that Duke is going to struggle with rebounding here in the Dean Smith Center. Now, Grayson Allen is playing well. This thought that Coach K had that Grayson Allen could play point guard. Many people are questioning whether or not that was even he shouldn't have attempted that because Grayson struggled during that time period. Then maybe he does have to go with the freshman and let him just run the point. But Grayson now is not playing as much point, and he's shooting better. He's making better decisions. But I really see that North Carolina has the strong advantage with the post play. And as Coach Williams likes to run his team, the ball starts inside, and if something can happen there, great. But then you push that ball out to wide open threes. So I expect a big UNC win on Thursday.
Key to victory for UNC beyond Joel Berry?
Well, always, you know, Justin Jackson is key. When he's shooting well from the three-point line, it opens things up because they have to go out and guard him, and then he takes those one or two power dribbles, and he's in there doing his little floater or a dunk. So I would also say Justin Jackson. I think the front line that UNC has, even if one of them got into foul trouble, I still think we're that deep and we'll be okay there. So I would say Joel Berry and Justin Jackson are the keys to the victory.
It's going to be a good game. Deb, we've got to let you go. But again, Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much, and look forward to watching the game with you tomorrow.
Thank you.